Welcome back to FLX Morning on Finger Lakes News Radio. It's 8:38. Time to get healthy with our friends from UR Medicine in Finger Lakes South. We start, as always, by welcoming in Kim Alacqua. Kim, good morning. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Paul. I'm good. How are you?
Doing great. So what's going on this morning?
We have a lot going on. First, I want to announce that we've opened our two new internal medicine practices. We have Cuca Healthcare, which is located at Soldiers and Sailors Memorial Hospital in the Medical Arts Building. We're accepting new patients there, and the phone number is 315-531-2320. And then also in Geneva in the Medical Office Building, which is adjacent to Geneva General Hospital, we have Finger Lakes Health Primary Care. We have Greg Fix, who is a physician assistant who's been caring for the community for many years. He is seeing patients there. You can call and schedule an appointment at 315-787-5445. And with May, we have a lot to celebrate. It's a very busy month for healthcare. First, I want to start off by thanking our nurses. It is Nurses Week this week. And then we also have in the month of May, Hospital Week, Health System Week, Nursing Home Week. It's also Skin Cancer Month, Blood Donor Month, many other things. But the main thing that we're talking about here today is Stroke Month. So I'm very proud to introduce Dr. Matthew Talbot. Dr. Talbot is our Chief Medical Officer, and he's our Vice President for Medical Affairs. And we also have Ann Guiri, who's our Stroke Coordinator and Performance Improvement Analyst.
Ooh, okay. Yeah. I want to break that down in a second, but let me start off with Matt here. First off, good morning. How are you, Matt?
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, wonderful. Yeah, good to have you here. Tell me a little bit about your background, how you come to be a part of the UR Medicine Finger Lakes Health family.
I'm an emergency physician by training. I actually am from Ohio, the Buckeye State, and matched at the University of Rochester to do my emergency medicine residency in 2005. In 2008, I was looking for opportunities in the region and took a position in the emergency department at Finger Lakes Health. Subsequently, about a decade ago, took over leadership in the ERs at both sites, and then a little over a year ago, also now have chief medical officer as part of my responsibility and role.
Now, what is a chief medical officer's responsibilities?
Really an extension of what I was doing in the emergency department, if you think of it as quality and safety, but for the whole system. So all of the departments, all of the medical staff, and really making sure that we're providing evidence-based care that, you know, is the same whether you're in Geneva, New York, or at the Mayo Clinic.
Other than that, you don't have a lot going on.
Not much.
It sounds like you got
still,
a lot on the plate there.
Still working some clinical shifts in the ER each month. Keep me sharp on my toes. Mm. So,
excellent. Ann, go ahead and step up to a microphone if you would. How do you come to be a part of the family here?
Well, I'm originally a respiratory therapist. I've been with the organization also for 30 years. I was from the Southern Tier and came up here to the Finger Lakes. So my role has evolved over the years. I've been in the performance improvement department for the last 3 years, working with the data and making sure that we're giving quality care.
Okay. I know it's we're talking about strokes today, so let's kind of delve into that. And the first thing is, I people hear the word stroke all the time. I don't think everybody understands exactly what a stroke is. So if one of you can kind of give us the basic definition of what a stroke is.
Sure. So most strokes are caused by a blockage of one of the blood vessels, what we call an ischemic stroke. Essentially, if you think of it as the piping to the brain, you know, how the blood flow gets to the brain. And typically what happens is that a blood clot that comes from somewhere interrupts the blood flow. And so as that blood flow is interrupted, the brain loses oxygen and essentially dies. The other sort of stroke is what's called a hemorrhagic stroke, which is a bleeding stroke, which is just about 10% of all strokes. Usually that's from uncontrolled high blood pressure for many years, sometimes from aneurysms in the arteries that can rupture, things like that. But most of the strokes that we see and that we can intervene on in the emergency departments are the blockage type strokes or the clot type strokes.
I often hear people say, I've had a stroke, but then I hear the term TIA kicked around. Are they one in the same, or are they two of the same thing, different?
It's really the same type of process, but typically just smaller portions of the brain that are affected. So smaller blockages.
Right.
And then by definition, somebody that has a TIA or what typically used to be called a mini stroke, you know, their symptoms will resolve within 24 hours.
Ah, okay. Okay. If you have a stroke, what are the chances that you may have another one?
Well, it's one of the biggest risk factors that we think of to having a stroke is prior stroke. So before you have the first stroke, what we work on in our primary care offices is modifiable risk factors. And those things that we think of are high blood pressure, high cholesterol, diabetes, and of course, smoking cessation.
Wow. So those are some pretty important things. And it always seems to boil down to those basic elements, because having if you have any or all of those issues, then you open yourself up to a myriad of problems.
Yes, not just in the brain, but in the heart and other organs as well. So we try our best to control those modifiable risk factors so that we don't get those end organ events.
How do you determine if someone is having a stroke? Are there telltale signs that people can look for?
Yes, we have some. We call B for balance, so you can look to see if your balance is off. E for eyes, so if you have blurred vision. F if you have a facial droop, look at your face, see if it's drooping. A, your arms. If you hold your arms up and you can't keep them there, they kind of drift back down. That's another sign. Speech, if you have slurred speech. And it's very important if you have any of these kind of symptoms that you get to the emergency room right away.
And that's the time in the BFAST acronym, Paul. So that's what we want the community to recognize. Remember BFAST, the balance, eyes, face, arms, and the A can be arms or legs, speech, and then time. Time is the most critical aspect of that, because the quicker that we can intervene and reestablish that blood flow to the brain, the more likelihood patients will get back to what we call their pre-stroke living.
Yeah, and that leads into, I guess, what my next question would be, which is, what kind of treatment is there if you have a stroke?
So we're a primary stroke center in Geneva, and we have been for many years. It's a very mature program. We're certified by the Joint Commission as a stroke center of excellence, as well as New York State. The things that we can do in the emergency department, as long as we see you within 4.5 hours of what we call last known well, which is the last time somebody saw you at your baseline, or you knew that you were at your baseline, is we can provide medications through an IV to essentially break up the clot and reestablish blood flow to the brain. That works a considerable amount of time. In those instances where somebody presents after that 4.5 hour window, but within 24 hours, our comprehensive stroke partner at the university is able to go up and actually do things, that dissolve the stroke, or they can extract the clot, things like that.
Wow, that sounds like that's relatively recent in development, or has that been around a while?
Well, you know, really taking the lead from our cardiology colleagues, and if you think of, I think a lot of people are familiar with stents in the heart and being able to do those types of things
right.
with the heart. The stroke interventional community was later in doing some of those same types of procedures because the data just wasn't as clear that it provided benefit, but the data is much more clear these days.
How often does a stroke cause damage that may either be considered permanent or is going to take a significant amount of time to heal?
So it's variable. I think the message that we'd like to get out is that if you see somebody exhibiting those signs that we talked about in BFAST, the most critical thing that you can do is, initiate the 911 system, get to the hospital, let us determine if there's treatments that we can provide, or if there are what we call a large vessel occlusion, which is a big clot in one of the big arteries, then we can send you up to the university to get, world-class intervention there.
We're talking with the folks from Finger Lakes Health, UR Medicine, about strokes and celebrating, I don't want to say celebrating, but say marking Stroke Month and talking about awareness of strokes and the signs that you can look for. Again, you can use that BFAST acronym, if you will, for the steps that Ann has talked about to figure out if somebody is having a stroke. What's the long-term care program look like after you've had one and you're either having to do rehabilitation, perhaps, maybe relearning speech, some of those things, or if it was a minor event that was caught and able to be reversed?
Sure. So there's a variety of things that we do and have been doing for many years at Geneva General Hospital as a primary stroke center. We have an excellent rehab team that works with patients, whether they have minor disabilities or severe disabilities. And the spectrum of where those patients go can include back to home, full functioning, sometimes needing short-term rehab, which we provide in our living centers. And then, you know, unfortunately, there are those patients that have significant disability and will need, 24-hour care for the rest of their lives.
Now, it's my understanding that the Primary Stroke Center at Geneva General has received some accolades, some accreditations over the years?
Absolutely. Year over year. Ann?
Yep. Yes, we have from American Heart Association. Every year since, I think, like 2018, we've gotten awards from them.
And that's really driven on evidence-based practice and making sure that we're meeting the key performance indicators. So they're not just handing these out. You know, it's right. Making sure that when we on a daily basis are really following up with cases, and if there are what we call fallouts or opportunities that we can improve, we're really getting that education back to the frontline staff of, how can we do better the next time.
All right. Well, I appreciate the information. Is there anything that we've left out?
I just want to also say that we do have a stroke support group. It's a virtual group. If you go on our website, you can get the email address to sign up for it. It meets once a month, the first Thursday of every month from 1 to 2, and it's all virtual.
Ah, and that's an important part of the post-care program, too, because it's not just about the person who's actually had the stroke. It's also about the people around them, loved ones, relatives, even friends and coworkers.
Absolutely. And when you talk about time, I would mention that both of our hospitals have some of the fastest throughput times in the entire region in regard to getting you seen and discharged from the emergency department, or from the time that you arrive, seen by a medical provider.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Matthew and Kim. Good to see you as always. Thank you.
Thank you.
Much appreciated. It is 8:51 on FLX Mornings.